March 13th, 2024. The Bread of Life. Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Now when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the day is now over. Send the crowds away to go into the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They said to him, "We have only 5 loaves here and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing. Then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces left over. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Matthew 14:13-21. Now what we see next is absolutely contrary to every human being on the planet Earth. Jesus has just heard that his close relative and friend, John the Baptist, has just been beheaded, and we find him trying to be by himself. He was known for this. He always sought out time to be with the Father. We would do well to do the same. But he wanted to be alone. This was probably really tough news, even for the Son of God. And in verse 14, what do we read? Well, we read that the crowds search him out, but more than this, we read that his response is one of compassion. What a savior. This story is awesome, not because of the miracle, but because of our savior. He again is so different than anything we are or anything we are used to. His friend, his best friend, just gets beheaded and he has compassion. Now, I don't know about you, but if anyone close to me dies and I want to be alone, it's not a great idea to come find me. I'm not in the mood to talk, I'm not in the mood to listen, and I definitely wouldn't be in the mood to take care of people who are mainly seeking me just to just take care of their personal issues. I'd probably be more like Job. I'd be in sackcloth and ashes, sulking. Not so with the Son of God. His love and compassion is so stable and so genuine that it flows out even in the midst of personal hardship. He really never considered himself. He loved us like nothing we had ever seen. He was a slave to all, and his life was extraordinary. He came to seek and save the lost. No sulking, no bitterness, no lashing out. No, but compassion. If this doesn't yell to us how much this Son of God is worth, how awesome and wonderful he is, how much we should long to know him and be known by him, how much he should be our treasure, how much we should cling to him, this is truly something to let soak into our own hearts. A familiar scene. The miracle itself is very cool. It has a lot of Old Testament undertones. Israel has always been men and women who are in desolate places and in need of food. And after the Exodus, we hear this kind of story. God delivers them. He delivers them from the hand of the Egyptians, and we watch them travel to the Promised Land. But on the way, they start to complain of hunger and thirst. So God sends down a thing called manna. It was like bread cooked with oil, it says. And the people were fed. God's grace for his people was abundant. It always has been. And now we are seeing at the same thing in this story. This should have been a time that opened their eyes to who Christ was. To watch Jesus turn a few fish and some bread into an abundance is absolutely amazing. The feeling of deja vu should have risen by now. They should have seen Moses' face in a whole new light. A better Moses. A Moses who has compassion and doesn't complain about them. A savior ready to lay down his riches and come to earth and lay down his life for them. For us. This was indeed a familiar situation for them, but not so a familiar Messiah. The creator in their midst. The other thing that should have been obvious by now was the power that Jesus has. He keeps doing the impossible. It reminds me of the magicians in the story of Moses when he sends plagues on the Egyptians. The magicians were able to copy some of them. Not with Jesus. They couldn't copy any of this. Healing the sick and raising the dead, this isn't a false prophet or a fake. This is the Son of God. We see him do what he has always done. He is the creator. He spoke and things existed. The universe and everything in it is his. So a few fish and some bread, piece of cake. No pun intended. In fact, he provided and provides every heartbeat in front of him. Those thousands of men and women were held together because he willed it. That's the irony of it all. You see, we're so fascinated by what we can see done that we are blinded to what is done every second of every day by the Son of God. We would be non-existent if he didn't will it, if he didn't constantly have compassion and patience for us. Our whole life is wrapped up in this Son of God. And oh, what a thankful people we should be. Let us learn that we need this Savior, not just for salvation, but to have our very being. Pride is so stupid. We do well at anything and we count ourselves the best. We puff out our chest and become so silly. Let us remember how our whole life depends on the Savior and the power that is revealed in this passage. And lastly, our need. As we keep seeing all these miracles, it's easy to overlook them and consider them a thing of the past. To say, wow, Jesus really did cool stuff back then. And move on as if he offers us nothing now. But the thing for us to remember is that all these things are meant to act as proof for us today. They are to yell at us that Jesus is trustworthy and that he is who he says he is. So while this stuff is kind of weighty and can make us envious of what they saw, let us consider the man more than what we missed out on because we weren't alive back then. We do, in fact, relate very closely to this multitude in this passage. You see, we are hungry, helpless, and hopeless. We are by nature children of wrath. We are far from God, and in every way, we are on the verge of death every day. Let us get one sickness to wipe us out, and let one thing happen to us that kills us. We are weak, finite. And like these men and women, we need a miracle. We need the bread of life. We need his body broken and his blood spilled so that we may be made right with God. We need what we read in Romans, peace with God. We need atonement. We need a substitute to take our place on the cross so we can walk free. That's what we need. And the good news is we have it. Christ is the bread that came down from heaven. He's the provision for man's salvation. He came and let his body be beaten and broken for our sake. He bore our sins on himself. He saw us in our desperate condition and had compassion. He died on the cross in our place. That's who we see in this passage. The people only saw the miracle and missed the man. Let us not do the same. Cling to Christ today. Jesus fed the 5,000, but more than that, he saved the world. He's all you need. Everything else is fading away. Treasure him above everything. And with this, have a happy Wednesday.